Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Section 10 podcast. Here are your hosts, Jared Carabas, Pete Blackburn, and Steve Perrault.
What's up and welcome back to Section 10 Podcast, episode 138, presented by Barstool Sports. It is the home of your back-to-back American League East Division champion, Boston Reds. My name is Jared Carabas, and I am a certified G and a bona fide sick person, and you can't teach that. And this right here, this is John Feidelberg, and his family abandoned him on Christmas. And you can't teach that. Bada boom, sickest guys in the room. Steve, how you doing?
What up, Section 10 in the building. So, Jared, if you listen to the Section 10 podcast, you're well aware that basically around, it happens earlier normally, it can be October, where yeah. Jared goes into this fucking flu mode, and if you try to get him out of it, if you even mention it, he gets upset. He's very touchy right now.
Today,
so we have to be very gentle with Jared this episode because he has about 20 flu games he's going on now.
It's not that I'm sensitive. It's that it's when it's not appreciated that I still fucking push through and do. I still have never missed a show ever. And Dave, my dumb fucking idiot boss. Like, the first fucking segment of Barstool Radio today is Carabas quit the company. He hasn't been in the office in a month, and that's a shame because bonus season is coming up. And it's like, Dave, would you want me to come into the office and infect everybody there? Like, I was there Monday. Tuesday, Wednesday, I had a fever. Thursday, I went and left on vacation, which was a company-approved vacation. I asked them like a month and a half in advance, is this cool if I go on vacation for these days? Yeah, sure, no problem. I'm in Florida Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and I got back late last night, and now here it's Tuesday. I'm back to work, but I'm in Boston. I'm not in the office because why would I fly from Florida to New York for a day and a half and then pay to travel back to Boston again? Like, I can work in Boston for that one day and a half that everyone fucking comes home anyway. So yeah, here I am back in Boston working. And by the way, even on vacation, I still blogged. I still covered the MVP awards. I still did Starting Nine. I still did From the Top Rope. I basically didn't even take any days off on vacation. This is the most that I've talked in the last 4 days because my throat has been swollen shut. I got off the plane last night, went directly to bed, woke up in the morning, made a doctor's appointment, went to urgent care, had to get a fucking steroid injection in my goddamn throat just to do Section 10 and Starting Nine today. Like, that is the fucking dedication that I have to this job. And I got my fucking dumbass balding motherfucking boss that's telling me, oh, he quit the company. He's not in the office. Dave, guess what? I fucking worked for like a year and a half remote and still fucking worked every single day. I don't take days off. I still work on my vacation. I still work when I'm sick. I still work when my fucking throat is closing so much that I think I'm going to wake up and not be able to breathe. So don't fucking question me, Dave Portnoy. Don't tell me that I quit the company. Don't tell me that, oh, bonus season's coming up. You might not get one. I'm going to get one, and you're going to fucking sign it, and you're going to like it, pal. And that's all I got to say.
It's so funny seeing all, like, the new people, like, just have to, like, learn how to work with Dave. Where, like, I've done it for 8 years, so it's just something that I am used to. I just know, like, you can't take vacation. You're not allowed to, because if he's in a bad mood, it will come up. Like, I've taken two in my years. One was from Christmas to New Year's. I went to Colorado, and then I honestly don't remember if there was another one. I'm just assuming there was, so I'm giving myself some leeway in case he hears this and gets mad about it. So I'm sure there was another one somewhere down the line. But the only one I remember was like 5 years ago. From Christmas to New Year's. And it's just like, that's the way he is. I remember, like, I got sick once and I missed like 2 days, and he tried to fire me. And then he was like, went on a rant about how, like, people who take sick days don't, don't do anything with their lives. And I was like, well, like, people get sick, man. Like, that's just the thing. And he freaked out. But he will freak out if you come into the office sick. So it's a real Scylla and Charybdis situation there with him. You have to accept the fact that there is no winning with Dave Portnoy. You're just like, okay, this is the way things are going to go. And I just stopped caring.
He gave you shit for taking a vacation from Christmas to New Year's. Doesn't the company get that off? Like, that's when they do the top 100 blocks.
Yeah. And I did all of those while on vacation. But it was still like, where are you? I was like, well, we're not even in the office. I'm in Colorado. And he's like, why are you in Colorado? Like, we're working. And I was like, I am working. I'm doing it. But like, the office is closed. So I didn't think it really mattered much where I was, as long as the work was getting done. But I'm sure there was another one somewhere along the lines, but yeah, do you get two vacations every 8 years?
All right. So I already burned one and it wasn't even a full week and I was sick the entire time. Like I'm not going to say I didn't enjoy myself. I definitely enjoyed myself, but definitely not as much as I would have if I fucking could actually speak. Like I went Saturday, Sunday, Monday without like actually speaking words. Like, this is the most that I've talked since.
That's Friday. The best vacation. You must have fucking loved that.
Yeah, just sitting there. We went to Miami for a couple of days, and obviously it's not baseball season, but I had to mix some baseball in there. So I took a tour of Marlins Park. I got to see the Jose Fernandez memorial that they have outside there. By the way, I don't want to get this guy in trouble, but my tour guide was a fucking moron. Like, he was the dumbest. Like, I corrected him 7 times. Like,
you're that guy that corrects the tour guide. I could see that.
So, by the way, like, they were like outrageous things that, like, so he showed us a picture of Hank Aaron and he was like, here's Hank Aaron, the home run king until Sammy Sosa and Mark McGuire came along. And I was like, nope, it was Barry Bonds. He was like, here's a jersey of Puerto Rico and, you know, the World Baseball Classic. That's every 2 years. And we hosted it here. I was like, it's every 4 years. He's like, here's a picture of Eddie Murphy. I was like, that's Eddie Murray. And he was like, and look at this. We get all the magazines lined up of all the times that the Marlins were on the cover of magazines. And here's El Duque. And I was like, that's Levon Hernandez.
That's bad.
What was the other one?
I'd prefer him to get the national stuff wrong, but get the Marlins stuff right. Don't mess that up.
Yeah, I mean, you can't point to Levon Hernandez and be like, check out El Duque. Like, was El Duque even ever on the Marlins?
No. They're brothers, right?
Yeah. There was a few of them, but like, those are the ones that like stick out in my mind. But like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, how are you running a tour here and you get basic shit like that wrong?
I can also see you like trying to struggle through the voice thing. You're like, that's not El Duque, it's Levon Hernandez.
Yeah, I was in rough shape during the tour. And the funniest part of the tour was when we went into the visitors clubhouse in Marlins Park. And we walk in there and the tour guy was like, I mean, we went into like the home clubhouse first and it was fucking beautiful. I like that they haven't touched Jose Fernandez's locker. Like it's exactly how he left it. You weren't allowed to take pictures. I thought that was bullshit. I wanted to take a picture of that. But then we went into the visitors clubhouse and he was like, and we like to make it uncomfortable for our opponents in here. And it's literally like twice the size of like the Fenway home clubhouse.
like doesn't Fenway have like the worst road clubhouse in baseball though?
Yeah. The Fenway road clubhouse is like the size of a fucking studio apartment in New York City. Like, I don't know how people get changed in there.
Especially
they're like piss in trash cans, right?
Yeah. Like, if I were a fucking visiting player at Fenway Park, I would just get changed in the parking lot. Like, I would just go out to like my rental car, get changed in the back seat, and I wouldn't go inside until I absolutely had to.
I mean, it's funny when you see the home champagne celebrations versus when they win at Fenway. Like, they're literally all just crammed in there, just like throwing champagne at each other. When you have the camera shot, it's like, this is it. This is the only place you can celebrate. You have nowhere to go.
Yeah, like you basically be like popping champagne, and when you go to shake the champagne, you have to like not try to knock someone's fucking tooth out with it. Yeah. All crammed into the same space. But yeah, it was nice to get away / not actually get away, because still worked, Dave. Still worked, and still had to fucking pop. The second that I got off the plane, he was like shit talking, and I had to call into Barstool Radio to defend myself.
That was today?
That was Thursday. Thursday, when I got there, I had like a 6 a.m. flight, and I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning in a pool of sweat from my fever. Had to go to the fucking airport at 4 a.m. to get my 6 a.m. flight because we had to have, like, fucking had to be there for the whole day. So, and then when we get there, fucking turn on Barstool Radio and Dave's shit talking me for taking a little fucking break. It's
unbelievable. Going on vacation with Jared would suck. That's like the last thing I'd ever want to do. Even when we go to a Red Sox game, we really don't talk that much. We're just kind of sitting there observing the game on the phone. I can't imagine spending like 3 straight days with Jared, especially with the sickness.
Why? No, I didn't say anything. I literally didn't.
Well, when you go on vacation, you want to have a good time and like conversate, go out, drink, have fun.
It wasn't like a party vacation. It was like a let's relax and unwind vacation. Let's just chill.
Those are the same thing.
Yeah, there was no bars. There was no clubs. It was just like go to the beach, fucking lay there on a towel, fucking soak it up a little bit. It was a good time.
That sounds terrible.
It was a good time. I had enough.
That sounds just go sit in the sand. Fuck that shit. That sounds awful.
No, it was very nice. Got like a professional massage. Never had one of those before. 90-minute massage. Just fucking like the masseuse was like one of those little Asian ladies. So she was like all over the place. She could like get on top of you and shit and doing all this crazy shit. I was like, I've never had any of this before. It was very nice.
That really sounds like something. I think beaches are extremely overrated. The sand is always in everything. You can't really avoid it. I think people like it because it's free. That's always been my theory with beaches. People love it because it's free and you don't have to pay anything.
They're not even free most of the time.
Yeah, parking. That's right. Yeah. I just think they suck. I've never had fun at a beach. Everyone's like, oh, it's cool.
I'll go to the beach at like, I don't like to lounge on the beach. That's not for me.
Yeah. Like late night beers on the beach is different. That's like a nice vacation thing. But
no. Oh, I'm fucking John. I'm a big party boy. I like to fucking drink beers.
I said I like to swim.
Yeah.
I didn't even say I like beers. I said swim.
Oh, you do the late nights. That's some Jaws shit right there. Late night swim. I would never do that. I'm still scared of sharks. I'm a fucking loser. But,
that's what I was gonna say. You think you could beat a shark in a fight? Is that what you're saying?
No.
All right. So then why go swimming in the ocean late at night if you think you can't beat a shark in a fight?
I think sharks are pretty overrated. I don't think they're I'm not scared of I might like sometimes I'll participate in those like internet things where it's like a weird fish gets found and they're like, nope, not in the ocean, and I'll be like, ha, scary, but then also I'll be like, that thing is 70 miles underwater, 100 miles off the coast. Like, I'm not taking a dip in the beach up to my fucking nipples, and I'm not running into one of those things.
Speaking of nipples, we have Evan Drellick on the show today. He is going to go over our Red Sox mailbag with us today. How do I sound terrible? Because I'm not listening to myself.
Yeah, you sound awful, but ideally having Drellick on will balance it out a little bit.
All right, sweet. Really, that's good. A little update on Giancarlo Stanton rumors, because I'm pretty sure I don't really, like, if you were to put a percentage on it, what do you think the percentage is? How many Red Sox fans actually want Stanton?
Save that. That's one of the questions. Save that.
It is?
Yeah.
All right, well, fuck you then. The Section 10 podcast is brought to you by Sox Signatures. Sox Signatures is the leader in autographs and game-used memorabilia of tomorrow's Boston baseball stars. Visit SoxSignatures.com today for unique items and the best prices on Sox prospects from Lowell to Boston. Use promo code SECTION10 to get 10% off your first order at SoxSignatures.com. .com. The steroid shit is actually working. I feel pretty good. Like, I'm coming back to life right now. This is great.
Is this the first time you're on steroids?
So, Giancarlo Stanton rumors. We have some rumors here that the Giants and the Cardinals have made offers for Big Dick Stanton. And obviously the Giants are considered to be the favorite. I don't know why they'd be considered the favorite. I think that the Dodgers should be considered the favorite. But I know that we're not supposed to speak of the four-letter network, but they put out this little like destination map of where Stanton could end up, and they photoshopped him in all the different uniforms. And when I saw Giancarlo Stanton in that Red Sox uniform, I got an erection. Like, I was like, this is very sexually confusing, but I am erect. He just looks like he fits. And I was surprised when Maz went on Comcast or whatever the fuck they call themselves now. What is it? NBC Boston?
NBC Sports Bot. Yeah. NBC, yes, whatever.
Comcast. He went on Comcast and he was like, the Red Sox need like a cornerstone franchise bat. And if you look at JD Martinez, you know, they're talking about, and I think it was with Drellick that he was having this conversation. He was saying, you know, if you sign JD Martinez, he'll do this. If things work out, this is what he'll do. And Maz made the point of, well, Stan's the most sure thing that you got. I mean, you put him anywhere and he's going to mash. And the best thing about this is you have the stat geeks that will back this up to shut up all the fucking money people. Fangraphs did a little research. They calculated WAR to dollars and then projections over the life of the contract. And I think it's either two. Every time that I fucking hear it, it's different. It's either 310 or 285 remaining on Stanton's deal over 10 years. And they projected that he'll actually be worth like $400 million over the life of that contract.
Well, when you compare him to other guys, like, I mean, Harper's going to get way more than Stanton is going to make for the rest of his contract. And other guys that are coming up too, like Trout's going to get way more than that. So the money's actually not going to be that crazy.
Oh, look, it's fucking Evan Drellick.
Why were you in urgent care, Jared? What happened to you?
My throat is closing at a rapid pace.
What? Oh my god! Do you really sound like that? What do they call that? Embellishing. You're embellishing.
That's totally true.
Aren't you a writer? Are you supposed to know words?
I'm so done writing. I can't. This stupid book, man. It's just
this stupid book. Go and buy it, though.
Yeah, please buy it right now. No, I'm working hard on it. It's really fucking killing me. So.
Wait, so what is it called? Can we just jump right in? Can that just be your intro? Yeah. Can we use this?
Sure.
Yes.
Evan Drellick is here, everybody.
Hey, Evan.
The Big 50.
Yeah.
It's really an original title we've got going there.
So can you tell us like who the top five is? Like, can you tell me like if Nomar's in the top 10?
Can you ruin the book right now, please?
I think I can give you some of the. Nobody said I can't give the order, so let me see if I haven't memorized it. Is that bad? Does that mean I'm bad at my job here?
That means that you probably have a ghostwriter and you didn't actually write the book.
Who says it's actually been written at this point? That's the biggest problem. It may or may not have originally been due tomorrow. Maybe just saying. But I am actually losing my mind. Let me pull this thing up. I just stayed in a Burlington hotel for the last two nights to get myself out of the house. With myself, and that's it. I'm just trying to work, and like I can't do it at home. I can't do it anywhere else. What I keep doing is I keep going to Amazon and looking at the Black Friday deals, and I can't find anything interesting. And sometimes I'll go to the Best Buy page. It's a really vicious cycle.
We looked at your Amazon recent searches, is there anything in there that we would be like, whoa, didn't know you like that, Evan?
Not on Amazon, probably on other webs. But you know, they got private window browser for that. So
that's the incognito window.
I'm using Safari, not Chrome.
Gotta be a whatever.
So I'm in between because I've always been a Mac computer guy and I got an Android phone. So
you're a loser. You do loser type stuff.
I'm a gigantic loser. Yes.
Yeah. Evan, real quick before this goes on for 20 hours, with the title, the men and moments that made the Boston Red Sox. So is this a top 50 guys or top 50?
Okay.
Moments?
Okay.
Wait, Evan, are you trying to say that women did not impact the franchise in any way, shape or form?
No, nothing gendered at all is going on here. Maybe I probably should give Mrs. Yawkey.
Gene Yawkey.
Yeah, Gene would deserve it. I know
that's a racist.
That's right. Well, a gentleman who has been looked upon poorly now for racist tendencies. Was he a racist? I don't know. I haven't written the race chapter yet. Your question, it's a series. They've done one of these with the Giants, they did it with the Blue Jays. They came to me with the concept. And so it's both things. Like there's a David Ortiz chapter. There's a 2004 chapter. There's Wade Boggs chapter, because Wade Boggs just called me, which was very exciting. So,
have you talked to Bill Lee yet? He's fucking crazy.
No, I need to. I have a chapter on like odd characters. And I mean, I've talked to him years ago, but I want to call him because I figure he could just fill up a whole chapter.
Have I ever played the Bill Lee voicemail on this podcast before? I have it saved from like a long time ago. He's just a fucking trip. I got to find it. Anyways, is there an entire chapter on Pokey Reese?
No Pokey Reese. I can fit him into the 04 if you feel really strongly about Pokey Reese. I was a good player.
What about JD Drew?
No JD Drew. No.
Is there any Willie Moe Pena in this book?
No Willie Moe chapters. No.
Okay, nope. So why would someone buy
it? Why would you buy it?
Yeah.
Well, in trying to do this, right, like I'm really self-conscious about this. Like I was talking to Shaughnessy. What can I do that's new about 86? Nothing. Like I cannot tell you something you don't know about 1986, but I have a choice in how I frame things. And the conversation I keep having that's the most interesting is, what's the biggest misconception about your time in Boston? And that has actually brought up some interesting stuff. Like, you know what? The media got this all wrong. The fans believed all this and it just wasn't true. So a little bit of the kind of revising the revisionist history, I would say, would be interesting.
What about Mo Vaughn? What about like,
he will be in the 90s Dan Duquette chapter. Dan Duquette, please call me back. You said you would.
I love Dan Duquette. What a great guy. He's fucking amazing.
For the book, I've spoken with, I actually have this list written out because I need to do acknowledgments and thank everybody profusely who took any time to help me whatsoever. I believe I'm the first guy to talk to the guy they traded for Dave Roberts. Does anybody remember off the top of their head who that was?
Does it begin with a G?
Nope. No clue. Although you're one letter away in the alphabet.
Does it begin with an H?
Yes. Good job.
This kid's wicked smart.
Is his name Hector?
Henry is the pronunciation. Henry Stanley was the prospect they traded. So Kevin Youkilis is doing the forward. I've spoken to Fred Lynn, Louis Tiant, Joe Morgan, the manager, not the second baseman who wants nobody in the Hall of Fame, Jed Hoyer, Calvin Schiraldi, Lou Maloney, Billy Conigliaro, who was great.
How did you get Lou on there?
Yeah, it was tough, man. He's tough to wrangle. He's too, you know, he's too busy bothering Al Horford to do anything interesting. So
average Al.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
He'll have to wear that one for a while.
But real quick, can we talk about that Joe Morgan Hall of Fame thing? I read it this morning and thought it was just a little like dated. Like it just seems like he's acting like the steroid guys are coming up for the first time now. Like we've had guys on the ballot that have taken PEDs and guys in the Hall of Fame that probably have already taken PEDs. So doesn't
I'm pretty sure like hasn't Clemens and Bonds been on the ballot since like 2013?
It's been like 4 years. It just seems like a weird time. I don't know what your thoughts were, Drillick.
I hate the whole thing. I really do. I actually texted somebody I know at the Hall of Fame today. I was like, when I get a vote in 5 years, I don't know if I want this. And I reserve the right to change my mind on this. I might, if I still am employed in 5 years, right? But like, who wants this headache? Like, just look on Twitter today. It's a clusterfuck, like, and I don't want anything to do with it because if you're being reasonable, there's like 18 different perspectives and they all have some merit, like they do, but you just have these fanatic zealots out there and it drives me insane. Like, and I feed into it sometimes. Like I'll fight with Craig Calcaterra. Like, I'll start pushing back against somebody.
He's kind of a douche.
Oh, he is. Yeah, totally. We both work for NBC. I probably shouldn't say that, but nobody.
Well, he comes off as very self-important. If I had a Hall of Fame ballot, I would vote for only steroid guys. I would vote for Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, Manny Ramirez, Gary Sheffield, Sammy Sosa, Jim Thome. I don't know.
You're really a man of the people, huh? You really like that blue collar work ethic type of thing there.
That's, I know. I really just, I fucking hate the writers that think that they have like the keys to heaven. And they like take it's fucking annoying. Like,
so take the keys. I don't want them. Take them. Get rid of them. I don't.
You know what you should do is you should get your ballot, and then we should conduct a survey through Section 10, and then you should fill out your ballot the way that the fans want to do that.
That went really well the last time.
I was going to say like Deadspin did that.
Deadspin
right?
did that, and it was what was it? Levitard who had?
Yeah.
Levitard.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever.
I mean, I think for the most part, if you were to put a survey out there to baseball fans, they would probably get it right.
Yeah, well, I don't think the process is as fucked as people say it. Like, okay, you have hundreds of voters. This is, you know, you look at the voting committees after you guys are off the ballot. Those are what, I don't know, 12 people. Like the thing that Tion's up for right now. That's only a few people. I don't think if you look at the process the way it's gone so far, it's not like they're letting too many people in. You know, you go back generations, and they've let some people in they probably shouldn't have, but I don't think the process is near. People get so angry over one vote. Like, I was an intern for Ken Gernick, great Dodgers beat writer. He was the guy that was actually called Katera, led the charge. He didn't vote for Maddux, and his reason was being that Maddux crossed over too much in the steroid era. The logic was bad, but it became this witch hunt of like, Ken Gernick's a moron for this vote. It's just like the vote had no effect on anything. Like it's just irrational behavior magnified in the Twitter world about a vote that apparently controls history, but it's really just, it doesn't, the history is still there. I don't know, man. It's just frustrating to me.
All right. So then, I know that this is something that you clearly, are not very keen on doing.
Uh-huh.
But I want to ask you about I don't want to go through the whole ballot. That would be painful. But I want to talk about some fringe guys because I want to know where you stand, because there's some guys that are like absolutely no on steroid guys. There are some guys that are like, I'll vote for any steroid guy that has the numbers. And then there are some guys that are like, well, I'll vote for a steroid guy, but only in special cases. We're going to find out which one of those guys you are, Evan Drolik.
Okay.
So
I have a philosophy. I do.
Okay, good. Barry Bonds.
Yes.
Roger Clemens.
Yes.
Okay, so you're not only voting for white players, you will also vote for black players. That's good.
Correct.
Chipper Jones, we don't need to discuss. Mike Mussina, this is not specifically a PED discussion, because there are some fringe candidates here that we're going to get to. Mike Mussina, are you yes or no on him?
Yes. And basically everyone, so this is where I stand right now. And I've tried to, like, honestly avoid thinking about this myself, because it frustrates me, because I don't like the idea of cheating. I do think Roger Clemens did something wrong. I do think Barry Bonds did something wrong, and I don't think we should reward it.
But hold on. What gave it away that Barry Bonds did something wrong?
8 sizes too big, I think was it. I think that was the answer. Also, when I interviewed him as a hitting coach, he was like, he's a twig, man. When it comes down to it, you don't know who did what, right? Like, you can't pretend like you know this and you don't know this about different people. It's impossible. Mm. But the people who get screwed are the guys who theoretically did not use, who theoretically, had they used, would get in the Hall of Fame. So I'm all about, if you're going to put all the guys in, you got to take it a step lower. You got to go to the guys you're like, he's on the bubble, but maybe he didn't use steroids. Well, what if he'd used steroids? So you can't reward the steroid users and then not the guys who didn't, but who just missed, right? Because then what they tried to do it the right way. Those are the guys that I'm concerned about. So I'd be more to pushing more people in at the bottom tier. That's how I would fix it.
Okay. Fights just came back. Are you a yes or no on, like, would you put in any steroid guy? Like, I guess, like, the big indicator with a voter is Sammy Sosa. Like, that's a guy who clearly only achieved Hall of Fame numbers because of steroids. Like, Sammy Sosa, is he even on the ballot anymore?
I feel like he fell off. I'm not sure.
No, he still is. Okay, but he's barely hanging on.
Oh, he saw that year.
He had 8.6% of the vote last year, so he's barely hanging on. Would you put Sosa in fights?
Before you use Sosa as an example, my answer would have been absolutely yes. I mean, like, I'm a guy who on these very airwaves said juice the balls, juice the people, juice everything. So I am not a guy who's concerned with steroid use. But I guess Sosa is one that kind of makes you go, I don't know. I feel like the home run race has, like, a section at the Hall of Fame, right? I've actually never been.
Uh-huh. It does, yeah. Right. I go too much. I've gone every year the last 3 years. Yeah.
I think that has to be memorialized. As long as that's in there, I think that kind of counts for Sosa. So I guess I would not put Sosa in.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Shouldn't that just kind of cover it? Because outside of that race and outside of just power for him and McGuire, that's about all you remember from them. So if that's recognized, then they don't need to be in there. I don't think they're Hall of Fame. I don't think Sosa's a Hall of Fame player without steroids. Yeah, he benefited most from it, from those guys.
The tour guide at Marlins Park would have put Sosa in there on the first ballot.
I got to meet Marlins Park tour guide. It's like, he sounds terrible.
Yeah, like he fucking probably would go up to a picture of like Mariano Rivera and be like, and there he is, David Ortiz, the greatest clutch hitter in postseason history. you missed that story, Evan. I went to Marlins Park and did a tour. This guy got everything wrong. It was almost impressive like how fucking wrong he was about everything. Like just like common, like basic shit that everybody should know.
So Jeffrey Loria was your tour guide. Weird.
Yeah, he actually took some shots at Loria too. There were a couple of shots.
It's impossible not.
That was a good one. That was rich right there. Like
that. That was some good baseball humor there. Yes.
Are you one of these pansies that gets offended about what Curt Schilling says on Twitter and uses it against him for a Hall of Fame case?
Curt, text me back, bro. I need you for this book. Call me.
I'll ask him later because he's on starting.
He and I got into a Twitter fight forever ago. I don't know if he still cares about that.
Maybe about the existence of God?
No, it was I had taken a shot at – I said something in a Herald story to the effect of managing something as well as Curt Schilling did Rhode Island's finances, something like – it was a little gratuitous, but it was funny. You're laughing, right? he got really sensitive, kind of snowflake.
Why don't you just call into his Breitbart show and ask him all the questions you need to there?
It's a good idea, actually. I've been on with him on EEI. No, I don't see, but see, like, honestly, Jared, I've tried to avoid thinking about this stuff because I don't want, this is why I'm telling you, like, I don't want the vote because it's I would not keep the guy out for that stuff, though.
All right. Yeah.
I'm also, I don't know. Am I saying this just so the internet doesn't come after me?
Like, no, I feel like you said that you wouldn't vote for him, there a lot of people on the internet would agree with you, but they're over the age of 65.
I'm offended you said pansy. That's what I'm offended by. You can't do that.
If you take offense to what Curt Schilling says on Twitter and then use that against him for what he did during his baseball career, you're kind of a pansy.
The Nazi memorabilia concerns me.
I don't know that that's true. I've been at his house and I haven't seen any Nazi memorabilia.
Have you been in the dungeon?
I was going to say, he doesn't keep it in the living room, I would bet.
Welcome to the kitchen.
I've been in like every fucking room in that guy's house.
If you keep Nazi memorabilia in the living room, I think it stops being memorabilia and it's just like a display at that point.
Yeah, like where did that come from? Are there photos of this or is it just a rumor?
He had something on his face. I think he had pictures of it on his Facebook page or something like that. I forget something along
there those. Somebody wrote it up. It's Googleable. I mean, if it's Googleable, it's true. Wait, is he running like a Neverland thing, Jared? Like, why were you in every room of his house?
We're just friends. We're just friends. It's nothing. Nothing more than that. And the last one.
The thing with the Schilling stuff, though, and I agree. Like, I wouldn't keep him out for that stuff, but like, it is a clause. So, like, yeah, if you want to get rid of the character clause, that's one thing. But if someone's like,
should that apply after your playing career?
Should it apply after your playing career?
Yeah,
that's like a great question.
If you're only voting, like if you're voting on a Hall of Famer, his perform like his numbers only for, during his playing career only count. Like you're not going to count Ichiro's Japanese numbers.
I mean, it's also the level of what the person did after their career, how impactful it was on the voters. Like if someone's like committing murder, they're not going to get in. So it's whatever the scale is. If he's done enough to keep him off the ballot for people, I don't blame him.
Well, you look at the exact opposite in the NFL with Darren Sharper, where Peter King's like, yeah, I'll still vote for him. I mean, that's fucking insane.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. So it's wherever the scale is. And I think he lands on a debatable level, which is where we're at.
Yeah. I don't think it's debatable. He's a
felonies. Hard. Felonies. Draw the line at felonies.
Yeah. Felonies. Yeah. Felonies is probably where you draw the line. All right. We got a little mailbag action going on here. Steven, would you like to read the questions?
I would love to read the questions, Jared. So, Evan, as you would imagine, these are kind of random. I know you can mesh pretty well, so these should fit well into your wheelhouse.
I'm more free now than I was the last time we did this. I was very. Yeah. I feel like I'm a little out of my cage.
Can we revisit that conversation?
Sure.
Let's do that.
Really quick. The last time that you were on with us, Evan Drellick, you did not mention on the air or off the air.
Yes.
By the way. We're going to be doing the baseball show together. It was announced like the day after or like within like 48 hours.
You know,
what the fuck?
I was new to it. I mean, you go back, I didn't know what I was doing, man. I had to come out of the shell. I think I was a scared small animal. I didn't know, man.
Could have been like, hey, are we recording right now? No. All right. By the way, I should have told you, we're going to be doing the baseball show together. And I would have been like, oh shit, it's about to go down. Instead, I was like, wait. Evan Drellick is doing the baseball show, the same Evan Drellick that was on my show like a day ago and did not mention this news. That is fucking preposterous.
I promise you I have no scoops related to my own professional career that I'm not sharing with you right now.
Do you have any other scoops?
Maybe. We'll see.
Okay, so
that's give it time.
Jarelli's going to be hosting SportsCenter tomorrow. I guarantee it. The first question here comes from Dylan. Kind of a random question, but we like those. He goes, if you had to change the Red Sox team name to anything else, the Boston what?
I would go something Coolidge Corner related, Brooklyn. You know, I just – the thing I love here the most is Coolidge Corner. I don't know. I never thought about this.
We can get back to you. This is a very important question.
The Brookline. Somebody else go. Somebody else go.
The Boston Trains.
Boston Train. I think one thing I love in sports is Pittsburgh, how all their teams are the same colors. I think we should take a step further and all your teams should be the same names. And I think therefore it should be the Boston Patriots for baseball. It's Boston Patriots sports across the board, same colors. That's your squad.
That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. I hate that.
I love it.
That's an outrageous take right there.
Actually, so outrageous it might work. Like the logo would be
just like, yeah, it's the Pats. Yeah, a Pats game today. Like, what sport? I don't know.
If you had Pat the Patriot with like baseball stuff, I'm buying that actually. Yeah.
Wait, if you were to rename the Red Sox, what would you rename them?
Yeah. You got the Boston Patriots and the Boston Coolidge Corners. Whatever the hell. Like
the fucking the Boston Big Titties.
Honestly, the first thing that came to my mind too was the Red Pandas, but then I don't know why. Like I thought that brought back too many. I just think it's a cute animal, really. And but it brought back too many connections to Pablo Sandoval, so I had to scrap that real quick and jumped on Patriots fast.
Yeah, we can't have that. We cannot have that.
The Theos.
Yeah, I don't even know what you would do. Like there's. Like, it's just the fucking Red Sox. Like, the fact that it's just a pair, it's like something that you put on your feet when they're cold. Like, that's our baseball team.
We're so used to Red Sox, but, like, isn't it kind of, it's an odd name. If you just were dropped on the earth right now and you saw Red SOX, you'd be like, huh? That's the team name?
Yeah, it's like the fucking, the Boston Purple Underwear.
I do have a fake baseball team. There's a bunch of writers that do this. You know, What If? Sports, you guys familiar with this at all?
Yeah,
like the simulation stuff, like totally fake baseball, and it's way too time consuming. And people put like people have reverse engineered wins above replacement in it. And I'm just like trying to stay above 500 or tank, whatever. I alternate between the seasons. Anyway, my team name in that is the Wegmans because I love Wegmans. Now Wegmans is not a Boston thing, but it's my absolute favorite supermarket. Like when I have nothing to do, I get in my car, just go to Wegmans. That's it. So that is my team name.
From Comcast.
I run the Salem Wegmans. Yes, it is. And that's one of the big perks and you're missing out on it.
Yeah, it's true. I miss out on a lot. In
Wegmans is that's like a Western Mass thing, right?
So there's one in Northboro, one just opened in Medford. I know all this. There's one in Chestnut Hill. It's a Rochester, New York thing. Okay. And it was in my college town thing. And my girlfriend in college worked there. She just married. She didn't tell me. So whatever. No, doesn't matter.
Get some free Wegmans, hey, baby girl. You know
what
that like.
Was that the supermarket that was going to close down like within the last few years? And then there were like riots over it? Not riots, but like protests?
No. No.
Wrong market then.
Their financial stability I will ensure will never have any trouble. It's not an issue.
As we transition from this very expected topic, Frank chimes in with which Red Sox player would copy Baker Mayfield's crotch grab from this past weekend during a game. His biggest example was which Sox player would most likely hit a home run, grab their dick and say fuck you to the pitcher, which there's zero chance anyone in this team would do it.
That's not true.
That I don't think that's true either. I think there's someone who very well could do it.
Hanley probably already has done that.
Oh, I was thinking Pedroia.
Yeah, Hanley, like he gets very it's probably happens maybe two or three times a season, but if you piss him off, like he's like Yasiel Puig. Like Yasiel Puig fucking hit that home run and like flipped off the fans after. Like he's great. That's why I love Puig. Hanley, I could definitely see doing that. There was that game against the Giants in 2016 where the dude like hit him with the pitch and then he hit three home runs off of him and told him to suck his dick and stuff. Like Hanley would definitely do something like that.
I think Pedroia is an insane person who gets hot and yells a lot. I think it's very possible he could pull the Baker Mayfield.
Yeah,
I couldn't see David Price getting angry. I don't think he'd be a choice for that.
Did he tell you to suck his dick at any point?
He did not tell me to fillet him or in any other way service him. No, I promise okay. you that.
That there's your scoop. Now we have an inside. All right, breaking news. David Price did not tell Evan Drellick to suck his dick. That is a scoop.
Correct. Confirmed.
Thank you for that. Thank you.
That's the definition of a scoop. I just pictured Devers doing it. It's the funniest thing ever. Just because he gets so excited. He's
fucking innocent. Devers is like Tommy Pickles.
He would never do it. He would never do it. But if he actually did, I think that would be a funny look.
If Devers did it, it would. I think even the pitcher would have the same reaction of like when your little cousin at the Thanksgiving table says fuck. And like everyone's like, oh, that's adorable.
The kid grabbed his dick and said fuck you. That's amazing. yeah, that's pretty good. Next one comes in from Coop. He goes, hey, Coop, how you doing? Coop is one of the better DM guys. How you doing, Coop?
Hey, Coop.
He goes, how badass would it be for Alex Cora to implement a home run chain for the Red Sox, similar to how Miami is doing the turnover chain?
Boo!
No, just before I knew, I know what your reaction is going to be. Let's just say in a hypothetical world, because Oregon, by the way, Oregon trying to steal the turnover chain was laughable. Like, you're trying, like, what, you think no one was going to notice that, like, a team that's in the top five has been doing that all season?
Not only that, like, they also use, like, paper clips for it. Like, it was just a far inferior chain than the Miami one.
Somebody had tweeted out, it's like in The Office when they have the Office Olympics. It looked like that with, like, the wrapper from the yogurt. Very, very similar to that. But let's just say hypothetically, like, we didn't know about the turnover chain. I think it would be badass if you hit a home run and you get a gold chain in the dugout and you just sit there like a G. Like, that would be awesome. I hate...
Well, what? If we hadn't heard of the turnover chain?
I'm just...
If we could reinvent every cool thing on the planet we never heard of that.
I'm not saying like that. I'm saying hypothetically, would it be cool to have a home run chain without the stink of copying Miami?
Sure, yeah.
But the Astros were doing something like this. I think it was... I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was a football or something, but the Astros were getting somebody after every game, like the equivalent of a game ball, but it wasn't a game ball. It's probably some sort of wrestling. I'm going to look it up. Hold on.
I think it was a wrestling belt with Josh Reddick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. And Cora was there. Yeah. I don't know. But you want it in the dugout.
Shout out the Bruins, who really kind of invented the turnover chain. Actually, the turnover chain goes back to like Vince Wilfork. I think Vince Wilfork started the turnover chain at Miami. I think they brought it back, but I was actually very interested in the turnover chain, so I was reading up on it, and there was like Vince Wilfork had a thing like this at Miami, and this was kind of inspired by that. But the Bruins did it. What was it? 2011? Or no, it was 2013.
With the jacket,
they had the jacket, but they also had a big chain. Picture Chris Kelly wearing it. The player of the game wear it at the press conference.
They were doing the jacket in 2011, the year of the cup.
They had – no, that was the old varsity jacket. This was – they had an army jacket and a chain. And that was 2013. So I remember there's the picture of Bergeron after game six, I think, just looking fucking broken when he has like two broken ribs, a broken nose, and he's kind of just like sitting at the fucking press conference table like looking like he's on his deathbed. And they had that chain. It's just a big – it wasn't like – didn't have a U on it, but it was a chain link necklace with a padlock on it.
One of my favorite thoughts –
like a starter jacket?
There was a starter jacket at one point. Yeah. One of my favorite Boston traditions is after, and I don't like Sticky Puck. I'm not a big Bruins guy. But after the season, hearing what Bergeron played with, I love when they go down the list. Like, like both his legs were broken. Like his right arm couldn't go up. And his head was actually snapped in half. He just kept playing. They tied it in there with the helmet.
I think that 2013, I think it was a broken nose, two broken ribs, and he had like a collapsed lung or a hole in his heart or something like that. Like, I mean, it was insane what he was playing with.
It's like they have a specific press conference for it too. Like, all right, here's the Bergeron's dead again press conference. Come on in, let me tell you how he's hurt. Next one comes from Jackie, and this is a girl. How you doing, Jackie?
Hey, Jackie.
How you doing?
What's up, baby?
She goes, "What do you?" That's right, Drellick. That's what you get here. She goes, "What do you guys want for Christmas?"
What?
What?
What do you guys want for Christmas? I think Jackie's getting us some Christmas gifts. Jackie,
like man. Red Sox wise, Giancarlo.
No, fan. Just what as yeah, because I said Giancarlo too. Let's put that aside. What do we want for Christmas? Something that we want for Christmas?
This is gonna surprise you. I don't really ask for Christmas stuff. I don't know. I don't have like clothes. I guess I don't know. Don't leave me in the hospital. Stuff like that.
You said that you didn't mind that, and now it's coming out later in life that maybe I didn't want to be left alone.
It might have had an effect on my Christmas wishes from then on. Like, I don't really do Christmas lists. I mean, I'm an adult man.
I spent a solid hour last night looking at backpacks, and I wound up on the LL Bean website. You know how people saw that stupid LL Bean backpack that like you could get your initials on? Did nobody else see this? So whatever. I'm looking for a new backpack because I've had the same right here. I've had the same backpack since college, and I got salad dressing in it during the World Series, and I need a new backpack. I also bought new sneakers, and they're New Balances. And I told somebody this at work, and they started laughing at me. Are New Balances no longer cool?
Can you they haven't been cool for a long time.
Well, yeah. Like at all, like New not there's like not a single pair.
They caught some stigma because they were very pro Trump, I believe.
Right.
So they fell into the LL Bean situation there, but I'll tell you what, Dad.
LL Beans make America great too.
It was like one woman who like isn't involved with the company anymore said something like that, but like the company itself came out and was like, she doesn't speak for us. But Dad Shoes, I think Dad Shoes are hot in the streets. They're having a moment. So you're good.
Are these Dad Shoes, like, I think they're nice. Like,
you got the new, you got like the Kennedys and the Hyannises that like came out, what, like last week? Those are fucking dope. Don't let anyone speak ill of New Balance.
New Balance isn't bad. I could see Drellick rocking the Ultra Boost, though. He looked good in Ultra Boost. So, like, I think you should Adidas Ultra Boost. They're a little pricey, but they can get you through the season, and your feet are going to be comfortable.
Wait, do you like Bruce Springsteen, Drellick?
Good. So, interesting story about Bruce Springsteen. I do like Bruce Springsteen. Yes, I do. The answer is I do. Listen. I like Bruce Springsteen not as much as my best friend growing up, who I would say is probably one of 10 black Bruce fans out there, but he's obsessed, super fan. This is actually a good story. I have two good stories. 2012, I show up to the Bruce show. I'm wasted. Me and my friend are totally hammered. We're both excited. We're really pumped to see Bruce. And my friend is a little too excited, and he keeps bumping the guy in front of us. So the point that the guy in front of, and like, he's not bumping him because he's angry. He's bumping him because he's so pumped about Bruce. And they call security over. And they're like, if you bump him again, you're out of here in 10 minutes. So we don't bump the guy again, whatever. But, you know, we're high-fiving people all throughout the show and, you know, turning around and all this. And 2 weeks later, I'm in the Red Sox clubhouse. And Ken Rosenthal comes up to me. And like, I'm, I don't know, 24 at this point. Like, I don't know Ken Rosenthal at all. He's like, hey, man, were you at the Bruce show a couple weeks ago? And I go, yeah, why? And he's like, I was right behind you the whole time. You and your friend were awesome. You guys gave me a high five on the way out. I'm just mortified. Like, Ken Rosenthal saw me totally hammered. Like, my career is over. Here's the other thing I was going to tell you. You know how he's got this Broadway show going on?
Wait, what? What he's Broadway show?
Bruce is on Broadway right now. Are you aware of that?
No, I was not aware of that.
All right. Well, so anyway, I bought tickets. And as a joke to myself, I put them on StubHub for a very high amount of money, thinking – they would never sell because I wanted to go. I bought them because I wanted to go, not because I wanted to make money. But then they sold. And so now I'm in this like moral conflict of like, what terrible system have I just participated in? And what credit card bill am I going to pay with this extra money? Because it's awesome.
So you put them on StubHub as like a joke to yourself, like, these won't sell. Ha ha.
100%. Yeah. And then I get the email. They sold. Like, it was stunning. They're going for thousands. Man,
There's stories about you that are great. I feel like there's this. You have your own little documentary. Like, I was on Amazon last night and I was going through all these items. Like, I got to see this day to day.
You have to understand. I've been in a hotel for the last 2 days. I've had no contact. I've talked to nobody. I've been writing a book. I've been cooped up. Like, I'm losing my mind.
And if you're a writer for baseball, traveling, you know, doing a lot of that, like, I can assume that you guys are all kind of crazy. You have to be a little wild, right? You can't be normal to do that job.
I don't think so. No, I think like on the list of sociopaths, journalists is like number four, right? Like, you got murders, CEOs, murderers, something, and then reporters. Yeah,
sounds very very accurate. Next question we got is from Ronnie. Ronnie, how you doing? I think this name fits for this kind of a question. He goes, if you absolutely had to root for any New York professional team, who would it be?
Knicks. I don't really. Well, actually, little. I was gonna say Knicks because I don't really care about basketball, so it's never really. I've never really seen them as like a rival. It's not really something I pay attention to. But I was a Rangers fan for like the first 5 or 6 years of my life.
What?
Yeah, big Mark Messier guy.
I remember hearing about that. Yeah, you were obsessed with Messier.
I just loved Mark Messier, and my two favorite players. Like, you know, as a kid, you kind of have like.
It's more players almost than teams.
Right, right. So my two favorite players in NHL were Mark Messier and Pavel Bure, made the 94 Stanley Cup Finals a very difficult time for me. But I remember, like, I watched Game 7. I was, like, going crazy and celebrating the Rangers win. I had, like, a Pop Market SCA jersey in my room. And I woke up the next morning, and all of my Rangers gear was gone. And my dad was like, enough of the bullshit. You're a Bruins fan now. Like, he couldn't take, like, seeing me happy for a team that, like, wasn't.
Is that a fucking Mets hat, Evan?
So he was like, that's it. You're a Bruins fan.
Yeah, I mean, I did grow up a Mets fan, and I don't root anymore. But this hat.
That's a badass hat. You got the apple. That's a badass hat.
Yeah. Tim Britton actually bought it first, and I was really mad at him because he didn't get me one. And then I bought four. I literally own four of these, and I don't know why I did it. Like, I already had one, and I guess I was so worried I would lose one, I decided to buy more. And I have three others just sitting there, and I don't know why. Like,
you thought you were going to lose three of those?
I figured one would get – Steve, I don't know. I got no explanation for why I did it. And I spent they're like $30 hats, right? So I spent $90 on three hats that I already own.
It's also a tough hat to lose. Can I see the top of that again?
It's great.
Yeah, you got a green top and it's all red. That's a very hard thing to lose.
Right. If I wasn't a Mets, you know, if it does make sense because I was a Mets fan as a kid, I really don't care anymore. But like,
Evan, don't tell me that
I'm an Astros fan now. Didn't you see me on Twitter? I go Astros.
I mean, I feel like, how is it possible if you grow up a Mets fan to just be like, well, my job requires me to not care about this team anymore? It's almost like a romance story.
So I'll tell you.
It's like you date a girl, you're in love, but like the parents don't want you together, so you have to break up. It's like you still love that girl, it's just you can't be together. You're a journalist. You can't be a Mets fan. That doesn't mean that you don't love the Mets still. You can't just shut that off. That's not a conscious decision.
Yes and no. So like, I was at Game 5 of the World Series with my cousin this year's World Series, who's from Houston in the stands, right? Everybody's going fucking insane, right? And like, so I'm with a bunch of Astros fans, and like, I feel nothing as this game is unfolding other than, whoa, this game is crazy. But like, I'm not like, the emotion dies. The only time in recent years I felt something, and I'll acknowledge it, was when they clinched the pennant with the sweep of the Cubs. That excited me because that brought me back to being a kid again. I had not seen the Mets in the World Series, obviously, since 2000. And then game one of that World Series, I was actively like, I found myself for the first time in whatever, a decade, invested. And it was deja vu. It was Armando Benitez blowing the game against, you know, Paul O'Neill in whatever inning in game one. And that was it. They lost the World Series right there. And I was done. Like the rest of the series, I knew it was done, whatever. So for two games in that playoff run, I was back, but no, I don't know what's going on with them right now. The ownership sucks. Like, what's there to know about?
I just don't get. I'm with Jared on this. I hate saying I'm with Jared on this, but like that childhood love for a team is irreplaceable. Like we still fucking have it. And
I love those childhood teams. I love those childhood teams. If the Mets were in the World Series again, I would feel it. I would feel like.
But that's kind of cheap, though. It's like if they make it to the pinnacle, then I'm back in. Like you got to go through the bad stuff.
I'm not looking up scores every day. I'm not checking box score. That naturally went away. I didn't force myself to it.
We're going to move on, but this is one of your worst traits.
I'm in the middle here because I get it. As you get older, you care less. Like you can't pretend.
I agree with that. But
so like as you're as you're aging into your profession, you're also aging out of your fanhood. Then it kind of just works serendipitously, I think, a little bit there. But yeah, I mean, like I would still want the Bruins to win, but I wouldn't be checking the scores every time. You know, it would be definitely just fall. Like I think like you're. From, I don't know, like when you're like freshman year of high school to like 25, 26 is like when you're like really a diehard fan. And then I think maybe even a little younger than that. And then after that, kind of like life starts to get in the way. And whether or not that's a requirement of your job or not, it kind of just happens.
Now, I know stuff gets in the way and it's easier for us to say because we're not covering a team like you're covering. I mean, I know Jared still, but that's the Red Sox. That's his team. And like it's all these teams. I don't know. I guess it's just different. It's just different, man.
I got an Edgardo Alfonso jersey. I got a Victor Zambrano jersey to make fun of the Scott Kazmir trade. I've got an Octavio Dotel jersey because I love that guy in 99. He was a rookie with the Mets. Like the old stuff I love. It's just the current stuff I don't feel that attachment to. But I like, yeah, before I die, I think there's a part of me that would like to see the Mets winning World Series. That doesn't mean if I'm covering it, I'll be sitting there rooting. But it'd be me.
That's totally fine. And he got four of those home run hats, too, so that's good. Next question comes in from Chris. He goes, what realistic percentage do you give the Red Sox of landing Giancarlo Stanton?
12.
I was going to say 10.
I had 10, yeah.
Man, it's not going to happen.
I got like 55%.
Jared's like 86.
It's like it's close to like a 59% chance that Giancarlo Stanton walks through that clubhouse door down in Fort Myers wearing a Red Sox jersey and hat.
Not happening.
Is it though?
Drellick, one thing I'll give you credit for, and I know you're not, you know, doing this for any support out of the Red Sox or anything, but that report that came out that Giancarlo would absolutely not accept the trade to the Red Sox or the Cardinals, I knew that was bullshit. That just didn't sound, that sounded like someone that was putting that out there to get him to go to LA. But what, so somebody had told you that that was just completely false?
So if you read that story, it's not like that was the first, that wasn't the lead of the story. That wasn't the headline of the story.
And it was just kind of further down, which was odd.
Right. So if you have that firmly, like firmly, you're making that your story. And, you know, even if you read the full paragraph there, it's like,
it's in a baseball source.
Right. Well, and I use that too, because the days of like indicating whether it's an agent, whether it's, assistant GM, a scout, whatever. Like you try to, even what league at this point, you want to try to mask as much as possible. But like he couched it right away. He said, I forget the exact wording, but it was pretty clear. It wasn't like, it was like, this is what one person believes or was told. I'm not saying it was gospel. He should have done a little better job of making it so that people didn't take it as gospel and run with it. But like that just kind of was a wildfire. Yeah. But I checked on it. And what I was told was, he's keeping an open mind. He's a human being with preferences, and obviously he's from California. You're seeing this play out like right now. It's playing out exactly how you thought it would, right? Like, is anybody surprised at all?
No.
I didn't really. Has he even said anything about the cold weather? Like, I feel like everyone is making such a big deal about that. Like, that's more of a fucking pitcher thing than a position player thing anyway.
I didn't even realize weather was coming into the car. I think he would just rather go closer to home. And maybe to a market that's nice to people. I don't know.
That did seem like a big part of the LA and San Francisco thing, the weather. And also San Francisco, it's not great weather. Maybe that's just an LA thing. I don't know.
You're colder at AT&T Park at night than you're going to be.
I was going to say it's worse there than at Fenway. So yeah.
Not happening.
I don't know. Percentage on it. This is, I don't know. I hate the percentage thing. Also the hypothetical trade thing. I hate that too, but it doesn't sound like they're a front runner. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
No, that's fine.
Jared doesn't want to accept that. He doesn't look at that face. He does not want to accept that.
Yeah, it's a good comeback story. That's all.
That's all it is. This comes in from Liam. Liam sent a novel. By the way, if you're sending in DMs that are like 5 pages long, just don't do that. But anyway, Liam is a loyal listener, so I love this kid. He basically said, would Chris Sale have won the Cy Young if he and Corey Kluber flipped their first and second halves of the season?
No. Kluber cumulatively had a better season regardless. Had nothing to do with his second half. He just had the better year overall.
More importantly, though, if you had flipped, like August and September was the big talking point. So if you had gotten rid of that, if you had flipped that for Sale and Kluber, you don't think that it would have changed? If Sale went 10-1 in August and September with a 1.42 ERA, you don't think that would have changed things?
No, because you have to look at the whole year, and Kluber's year was just better. Like, he had the best year statistically of any pitcher in baseball.
So people wanted to – I was on the radio the other day, and everybody was beating up on – not everybody, but calling my good friend Jason Mastronato a homer for voting for Chris Sale. And, like, I have no problem with anybody who wanted to put Sale one. And I it surprised me that there weren't more. And to that point, it was because of September. And so if the long DMer – gentleman,
Liam. Yeah.
If his point is, did he get screwed by the narrative of the end of the season? I would think to some degree, yes. But I also accept that the overall statistics, I don't have them in front of me. I don't think they were that different that like you can't justify a vote for Chris Sale. People are making it out that way. I don't buy that part of it.
They weren't drastically different, but how much do we factor in a very, very, very solid close to the season for getting you that extra bump to get the Cy Young? That's what it looks like.
I'm with Evan here. Jared, I was surprised with how quickly you dismissed this idea.
Because I think it's more of an MVP thing. Like, I think like the MVP, you have a better chance of sneaking up and winning if you have a strong like last month versus.
No, I agree. But I think that like – I just think that like voters are humans. And if this is – if like a dominant performance is more like recently in their heads, then I think you'll have like some recency bias and like you'll get – I don't know if it would have been enough to flip it, but I think he definitely would have got way more votes if he ended strong like that.
Yeah, no, I think he would have gotten more votes, but I still think that Kluber would have won, just because it's like.
But Jared, when did he take over for you on that?
Probably
not until September.
It seemed to be like the second week of September that we kind of gave it to Kluber.
No, I was early on it. Like I was
you were early on the potential of it. I don't think you were early on like the award as Kluber's.
Yeah, like I was saying, you know, Kluber's probably going to take this thing over. What was it? Like it was the end of August, because I think it was Sale had a shitty month of August. Like that was basically the tipping point for him, which is his first start in August to the end of the season. His ERA was over 4. So after, and then Kluber turned it on at the beginning of June. So there was enough there to be like, I think Kluber is probably going to pass him. Cause I remember like, if we go back and dig it up, the conversation was, I have a hot take here, because it was a hot take at the time, because we had already given the Cy Young to Chris Sale, and I was like,
that was mid-August, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I have a hot take here. I think Kluber is going to pass Chris Sale to win the Cy Young. Like, you could see it happening. Like, it's just, you don't, it's really hard to rebound from what Sale had been doing. Like, I think his first bad start was, I think, through his first 21 starts, he had a 2.37, and then after that, he finished with like an ERA over 4, and it was just like two separate seasons right there.
Yeah, the last 2 months, he had a 4.09 ERA. So,
yeah,
and I don't think anyone's ever won the Cy Young with a 4.09 in the last 2 months of the year.
Yeah, not great.
Not great. Last one comes in from Kyle. I don't even think this is a great question, but get your take on it. He goes, "Who do you think deserves to have their number retired first by the Red Sox? Jason Veritek or Tim Wakefield?" Isn't it obviously Veritek? Like, by far,
I would say Tech.
Are they both getting retired? Is that?
Do you think actually it wouldn't be far fetched that Wake would?
Neither has been worn since.
Is that a Wake shouldn't? Evan has a like he just ate a you know old piece of.
I don't know. We're getting into the Hall of Very Good at that point. I guess I get it, but here's the other question I have. When did like I had a chapter in the book that was going to be Tech and Wake, and I was like, I don't know what I want to say about them, so I scrapped it. At what point did Tech and Wake become like this couple? Because they had the whole retirement thing together. It's like, but it wasn't like that, you know, in 2008, right? Like when did they become this item?
It was never like that when they played together. I think it's just because they retired at similar times and fan favorite wise were on a similar level, right?
It was almost the opposite.
I think that was like almost like a high school quarterback cheerleader situation where like the public willed them together rather than the fact that they actually wanted to be together, where it's like, just society was like, you two are together because we like to remember you two right. together.
Right. And Doug Mirabelli's on the outside. Let me in.
He's doing the say anything.
Mirabelli, my God.
Do you remember fucking Jason Veritek trying to catch Tim Wakefield in the 04 ALCS?
I don't think, like, actually.
This thing is over.
Yeah,
the Yankees are going to win. I mean,
I don't think I've ever been more nervous as a fan than when that was happening.
Yeah, it was basically Veritek trying to catch Tim Wakefield's knuckleball in every single pitch going to the backstop. And I was like, well, I mean, we tried. Game 4 was sick, but that was about it.
It was a scary time. You were kind of rooting for like a ground out or a pop out. You're like, just don't get past the batter or else the Sox are losing. Like, if it reaches Veritek, there's no way he's going to catch it. That was it for the DMs. It for the questions. Good stuff as always. Down in the DM is brought to you by Ronald's Napkins. They clean your fucking face.
Yeah, they do. They sure do, pal. That's all we have for questions?
We had more, but that was the cream of the crop. We've gotten through a good amount of things. I know we still have to touch up on the Thanksgiving stuff.
We do have to touch up on the Thanksgiving stuff. And actually, before we move on to that, I want to get his name right because he actually took the time out of his day. I think his name was Bryant. With a T, like Chris Bryant. He went back, and here it is, Bryant Keatley. He went back because we never do this. Every year we do our predictions at the beginning of the year, and we never go back and revisit them. He was like, fuck this. I'm going to go back and do this for you because I know that you guys are not going to do it. So here's what he has. There's a lot of concern about David Price. Steve says, let's call a spade too many times. 10 minutes.
What's the deal with that phrase? Is that phrase okay?
Yeah.
I obviously like it. I'm glad he pointed that out because I use it a lot.
But isn't there like some thought that it's got like some underlying race thing with it?
It does it.
Evan, let's just call a spade here and just agree that's not true.
There are so,
we have so many racist phrases in this country. we were just sitting with it the other day, and we were just like talking about things, and it was just like, oh, did you know like that's racist? I'm like, wait, come on, man, really? Like, where'd that one come from? Like,
I'm not. I use it all the time, and then it was point. So I don't know. So you know how this works. Somebody points it out to you, and it's in the back of your head, like, oh shit, I can't say that. Like,
yeah, if we can't say that, no words are safe anymore. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, you can also plead ignorance, which is what I do on pretty much everything in life.
Yeah, you and Roy Moore. That's good. That's yeah, a good,
big time ignorance guy. 10 minutes too many on Tyler Thornburg. Robbie Ross Jr. over under 6.5 caught home runs. I think he had zero. I had over.
Oh my god, that was the saddest part of the season.
Pete has under, Steve had over. So Steve and I, we were wrong. John Farrell, over under 2.5 ejections. I don't even know where you would look that up.
I can get it. There's a web, retro shooter, I think, has it.
Are we counting postseason?
We should. Not. We should.
Yeah. Why not?
Because that, yeah.
That's a tip of the cap.
I had under. Pete was Steve doesn't let him answer. Steve, over.
Wait, what did you say?
John Farrell, over under 2.5 ejections. I said under. Steve said over. And then for Pete, it says Steve doesn't let him answer.
That is so perfect. Wow, I love this kid. Bryant. Shout out Bryant. I had the record right, by the way. I don't know if he left that in
He did. He did.
The only ejection John Farrell had in 2017 was the playoffs.
No.
Really?
So, yeah. Unless this hasn't updated, yeah. Before that, the last time was July 31st, 2016.
Sandy Leone over under 17.5 home runs. That is fucking very high for an over under. We all picked under, thank God, for our credibility's sake. Better season, Betts or Benintendi? I said Betts, which is the correct answer. Steve said Benintendi, which is the wrong answer. Pete, once again, does not answer. he was on the show. He was on the show.
Does this not sum up Pete's time on the podcast?
Yeah. You just got nothing for you. Let me pull up. How many wins did Chris Sale have? 18? 17. He went 17-8.
17-8, yeah.
The over-under was 18.5. I said over about 27 wins, maybe a loss to the NL All-Stars, which he started the All-Star game. Pete said over, and Steve said under, and then changed it to 30-0. So we were all wrong on that one. David Price, over under 12.5 starts. How many did he make? He made 11
under,
starts.
Under, yeah.
He made 11 starts.
Who set these lines? These are pretty good.
I did, I think. Mm. Over. I said over. Pete said under. And Steve said under.
I'm pretty good at this stuff.
Most surprising performance. So we can decide who is right here. I said Mitchie Fourbags. Pete said Hanley. Steve said Eduardo Rodriguez. So I would say
Hanley in a bad way? You could argue Hanley in a bad way.
I don't think that's the way you said it, but yeah, I think Hanley in a bad way could swing here.
I don't know if like but Pete said 35-40 home runs.
That does not count. That kind of makes it invalid. Yeah.
Yeah, Pete said like surprising in a good way.
No.
Bold prediction. I said Jackie Bradley Jr. will break out and become a superstar. Pete said Red Sox will play in the wild card game. And Steve said Benintendi will receive at least one first place MVP vote. Whoa. So we were all wrong. No one was right at all.
I mean, bold predictions, whatever.
The wild card game was closest to being accurate in my mind. How the hell did they win the division? Does anybody else think about this?
That's ridiculous. When you look at the team, and that's why I don't want them to use this as like, we won the division. Well, you might as well have not. That team is not a division-winning team.
I don't get it. I never understood it. I was always the guy. The Yankees are going to catch him. The Yankees are going to catch him. How did they not catch him?
Did we not feel weird during that celebration? When they were popping bottles, it was like, wait a second. They just won the division. It just didn't feel right.
No, the whole thing was strange. Mm-hmm.
It was a weird year. It was a weird year.
You're telling me.
Record? I said 91-71. Pete said 88-74. Steve, 93-69. Got it right.
Hey, good job,
Steve.
Did something right.
Good job, Steve.
Yeah.
That was very good. And that's pretty much it. We should probably keep track of that more often because the bold predictions, it's always just like, fucking Benintendi's winning the goddamn MVP award, son. I tell you what. This guy's taking
it. He just better be on this team next year. I'd be so sad. But anyway, let's wrap.
Yeah. We got.
I gotta run because I got to go do a commercial. But Evan, good talking to you.
See you
later, Fights.
Bye. Bye, Fights. As always, is this our third Thanksgiving? Yeah,
it is.
Okay, yeah. So wow, we've grown a lot here, Stephen. This is.
Yep.
I wish I could say it's pleasurable. It has not been. It's been anything but. But. The night before Thanksgiving is a night that I hold near and dear to my heart, and I hope that I am healthy enough to go out. It's the Super Bowl. It's townie drinking night. It's the night that you get to go out to the bars in your hometown and be like, well, I'm doing better than that person. I'm doing better than that person. This person, I'm surprised you're even still alive. Good for you, pal. But as always, we're going to ask our Section 10 listeners to send us drunk voicemails. How drunk are you going to be the night before Thanksgiving? Well, we're going to give you some direction this time, because last year we were kind of just like, get drunk and leave us a voicemail. Kind of give us like a recap of your night. What we want this year, for as drunk as you're going to get on Townie Night, I want you to call in to the Section 10 voicemail, which I should probably give you the number.
I got you. It's 781-366-0950. That's 781-366-0950.
Okay. So call in and leave a review of the Section 10 podcast while inebriated.
Wade Boggs told me, so we were going to start this a little earlier, and I DM'd Steve. I'm like, wait, don't do this. Wade Boggs just called me for the book, right? So, and I said, Steve, what do I ask Wade Boggs? And he said, we don't know how many beers he can drink. He confirmed. He said that what he told Charlie Day, that he drank 107 in the span of a day, is accurate. So that's your threshold to me, 107 beers. Look, I'm just telling you what the man said. That's all I do. I'm a reporter. That's what he said. So
that is awesome.
107. Mm-hmm. How long are we assuming that he was awake?
See, I don't know. That's the question. Did he nap? I wanted to. You could tell he didn't really want to go into this, right? And this is where being a veteran, as my Amazon author profile says, experienced sports writer. I didn't want to push too much on this one. I didn't want to say, well, all right, so how much of that was on the plane? Was it actually 52 or whatever the number was? So I don't know. But yeah, you feel like you got to have a nap in there, don't you?
I'm just trying to do hours. Like how many hours do you think he's awake? If he's doing what he probably gets up at 10, probably starts drinking at 11. That goes until probably 2 in the morning. So we're talking 15 hours or so. At the bare minimum, he's doing like 7 to 8 beers an hour.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Which is incredible.
That's insane. You're doing a more than a beer per 10 minutes. You're just basically chugging beers for 15 straight hours.
I can't.
Yeah. No. You'd have to be like shotgunning them. Like there's no way you're just like casually sipping that.
He also has no incentive to lie about this. So like this is true. It's totally true.
He kind of does. I mean, obviously if you're the fucking beer drinker guy, like you have to, I guess.
You got
to
sell it.
Embellish your myth. Cause everyone talks about it. You have to, be like, he could have had 64 beers and that would have been just as like outrageous. But he's like, I had 170 beers.
I mean, I asked him, I said, is what's out there true? Is the number true? And he's like, which one, which number? And I was like, so I had to really quickly Google, cause I wasn't sure. Cause I knew the plane number. And then the first thing I saw was the 107. And he said, yeah, well, that's what I told Charlie Day. I said, so that's accurate. I said, yeah.
That's so crazy. Okay. Wow.
All right.
Okay. Wade Boggs can consume beer.
I don't know if I believe it, but I want to believe it. So I will.
The Easter Bunny of beer.
Yeah, for sure. Do you still want to do, we'll do a guess dad stat?
Oh, yeah, we can do a guess dad stat. Drought? I mean, it's probably more even. As Fights has said, like, it really is tough. You're going up against Jared. Like, we would mention, we used to do trivia earlier, season 1, season 2. And it was just stupid. Like, I love Red Sox trivia, but this fucking kid is obnoxious with the amount of random. Your brain is full of random Red Sox shit that no one needs to know. And for some reason, you have wasted your time consuming that knowledge. This question,
I don't know if I wasted it because I'm unbeaten on this.
Which is fine. It's good to be the stump the Schwab of a sport, of a team. That's good. This question is, how many RBIs did Brock Holt have this past season?
Ooh.
12.
Brock Holt, and this is 12. Real quick, it's tough because like he likes the show. He comments on our stuff. So this isn't throwing Brock Holt down. If anything, he's been acknowledging how much he sucks like so much over the last couple months. he commented on his own New Balance. He has a new New Balance shoe coming out. So shout out New Balance. I know Evan's a big fan.
So that I don't suck.
And he's like, he commented on the Red Sox post of him with the New Balance cleat. He's like, will these cleats help him hit over 200 next season? So he's very well aware that that he had a shitty year. But Drellick's got 12. What do you got, JC?
Wow. I want to say it's even less than that. poor Brock.
Go like 2 months without an extra. There was some. I remember at one point later in the year, it was like, this is the first time Holt had done something. I don't know if it was RBI or like an extra base hit since like May. Whatever. It was. There was a big gap for I guess any production.
12 RBIs. Damn. I'm gonna say, fuck. I might not get this one. I'm gonna say 11.
Well, yeah, he wins. He goes lower. It's 7. He had okay. 7
Price
RBIs.
Is Right rules? Come on.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, then we're both wrong, actually. Price is Right rules.
It's yeah, I was going to say it went over. But no, we're just going to go closer. Yeah, either way, you both got it wrong. But not an easy one to get. If you had spanned out his 162-game total, it would have been 18 RBIs in the season. So tough year for Brock Holt.
Who had the most hits in the 2016 American League Division Series, and how many was it?
The ALDS?
It was
in the Red Sox for the Red Sox.
I know it was either Hanley or Brock Holt. I'm sure it was Brock Holt. It was probably like Brock Holt, and it was 9 hits.
3 games.
I know, but
nobody.
I,
wait, wow. Hanley didn't have 4 hits. That's not right.
There's one guy with 4 hits in the 16 ALDS. Not this year. Last year, the one when they got swept by the Indians. Swept by the Indians.
Shit. Sorry, I was still in. All right, I thought you were talking to Astros. Never mind.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Brock had like a fucking pretty solid series, and it was
how fucking dumb is this? My God, that just reminded me. So this team, the last 2 years, absolute egg. No one even hits the baseball. Like we're trying to get to the World Series, and no one can get hits. Like,
except Hanley. Hanley.
Yeah, the guy that you didn't expect to do it. Like, my God. They've won
who's going later? It's given like the throat slashing thing. It's like, and nobody called. I mean, I mentioned that I think once or twice on Twitter, but it's like, that's a bad look. You don't want to do that.
No one called him out because it's Hanley, but it was like, dude, that was what? To avoid getting swept? Right. Like, come on. That's
right. Murderer's Row. Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Anyway, well, Thanksgiving stuff. Need your voicemails. Drunk review. Need them.
Drunk review. We're gonna have a review of the week shit face. We should play like the top 3 candidates and be like, we'll let you decide. We'll let the listeners decide.
Jared, you're gonna be up here or you're gonna be in New York?
I'm in Boston. I was in Florida, so I went from Florida to Boston, so I'm here now. Are you in New York right now?
No, I'm debating whether I'm going down for the writing purposes. So I might stick around. That's all I'm saying.
Gotcha. Yeah, we still got to link up since. So you got to show me those fucking sidewalk bagels you've been talking about.
You were so excited about those bagels, man. People were like chirping you too, like, shut up about the bagels, Drellick.
Actually, by the way, Tim Britton unfollowed me on Twitter after I said that he was ugly in the Steve from Weymouth segment. He was apparently upset by that.
You said Tim Britton was ugly?
Remember when I pranked you guys and I was like, the Carabas guy looking at you?
He actually
got upset.
I thought you, I'll deal with him. Don't worry about that. Yeah. I was on the EI the other day and this guy calls up and calls me a jabroni about 5 times and I could have sworn it was you. I figured you wouldn't have done that, but it was Charlie. Oh, man, I forget Charlie from somewhere. I was like, yeah, this is
Charlie from Tewksbury.
You're a jabroni. And I was like, that's the only guy I know who would do that, Jared. So
yeah,
dude, the Britain thing's an honor too. He only follows 121 people. So to get that unfollow is
those people. Why is Jared like that? No, all right.
What, unfollow people?
Oh, 1500 people.
I don't follow
that many people. I don't like my feed being clogged.
Yeah, I follow like 720 people.
It's a mutual respect thing. Like, you know, if somebody in the industry, even if I don't particularly like you or know you, follows me, I want to do the right thing is to give it back, you know?
Yeah, I follow a bunch of people that I wish I could unfollow, but I don't want to hurt their feelings. Like Steve. I wish I could unfollow Steve. His tweets are terrible. But just
mute him. Mute him. That's it.
Yeah.
Pretty good tweets, I must say.
I wish that I could just mute everyone in my timeline except for like David Ortiz. Like those are the only tweets that I'm here for, really. And a lot of them are just ads.
The worst thing is that I want to unfollow Pete, but I need to like know the tweets that I want to rip him for. I wish I could just tell Twitter, like, don't show me the hockey gifts. Don't show me all the other shit. Show me like the basketball stuff so I can tell him to stop doing that. But
you'd unfollow Pete? That would be very dramatic. There'd probably be a Reddit thread about that.
Yeah, there probably would.
It took me a second to realize which Pete you were talking about.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. That's actually, wow, that's equally valid for both Petes. My goodness.
Do you follow Pete Abraham, Steven?
Yeah.
Do you really?
To stay up with how moronic his tweets are, how moronic his takes are, and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. I was creeping him the other day. And I remember, like, he's followed and unfollowed me about 17 and a half times. And the reason I, like, called him out on it one time, he's like, oh, I just don't like the memes. I was like, I don't post memes. And then I looked at, like, his following, and, like, he only follows, like, hot, like, female reporters.
Yeah.
Like, he'll follow, like, even just people that, like, this girl right here. What's this girl? Sarah Sivian? I mean, her fucking profile picture is just her with, like, her tits out. And it's like, Pete, you think that she's, like, what is she? She covers college hockey. But it's like, Pete, you're the most predictable person in the world. You're just a fucking pervert. Like, Pete the pervert. That's who he is.
Pete the pervert. I like that more than G-Bub.
Yeah, fucking G-Bob, a.k.a. Petey Pervs.
Relic handling this perfectly. He's like, when you look at that, got to get back to the big 50.
All right, so I want to say thanks to our producer, Steve Peralt. You can check him out on Twitter at Steve_Peralt. Evan Drellick, thanks for coming by. You're actually you're a two-timer now.
I'm honored, yeah. I didn't expect it, but, you know, holiday weekend, you got to dip down into your reserves, and I appreciate that. Yeah,
you would be happy to know that you're our first guest in, like, 40 episodes.
Yeah, really? You'd be happy to know we needed a guest, and I was like, we're getting Drellick, so this is not reserve time.
Yeah, this is not like, hey, let's bring in the Z Squad. This is nice. Like, all right, let's get back into guests. Where should we start?
You caught me at a particularly maniacal time. So that's
actually good. One last question. How sad was it after I left the baseball show? Tell me.
I mean, it's been sad. You know, Tim, who else did we have? Shaughnessy. Did Buckley do it?
Bertrand did it. I watched that one. I watched like a few of them after I left. I wanted to watch. That was like the only one that I was interested in watching because I fucking love Beetle.
You know, I mean, this is a thing I learned about. You know, I knew Kravis is a big deal, but every time I go out with this guy, I shouldn't be blowing him here, Steve. But like every single time, we'd be going to a bar in Boston. Like, I could not walk in and walk out without. He always orders the steak tips every single time. That's all every he orders. And every time, whether it be like this 20-year-old waitress or like the old dude behind the bar, like somebody recognizes him. It's like, wow. But you don't get that anymore in New York. You're just like you're a little nothing now. Nobody cares.
I didn't get it. I got it zero times in Florida. I get it more than I expected to in New York. And actually, surprisingly, everyone's been really cool in New York. I was expecting to get like a bunch of Yankee fans who would like harass me. But I would say when I do get Yankee fans, they're pretty cool about it. And I get a lot of Mets fans that are like pretty like big Carrabba's guys. I don't expect to ever meet like a fan that's not a Red Sox fan and be like, love your shit. Like, I'd never expect that. But
well, as a Mets fan growing up, I mean, I'll acknowledge it. I had a Red Sox shirt to annoy Yankee fans.
Yeah.
I hated the Yankees so much that the Red Sox became part of the fold. Like, there is a brotherhood of Mets and Red Sox people just despising the Yankees. That's probably what it is.
Yeah. I feel like we do share that mutual hatred for the Yankees. But I've definitely, New York fans have been pretty cool. And I definitely appreciate that for sure. Any last words, Mr. Drellick?
I hope people give New Balances a second chance because these are nice. So please.
Yeah. Those didn't look that bad, but I expected you to have worse looking shoes. When you mentioned New Balance, those are not that bad.
Look out for the big 50 whenever it comes out, if it ever gets done. Wade Boggs, 107 beers. It's all there. All the details are there.
All the details. Yeah. When does that come out? You have no idea.
It should be April, I believe. We'll see if I ever get it done. So,
you should release it on my birthday and dedicate it to me.
What's your birthday?
It's opening day. I was born on opening day. A little fun fact, April 3rd. I was actually born on the same day that Ken Griffey Jr. made his major league debut. Also a fun fact.
My least favorite junior fact.
Yeah, that's Steve's favorite player, and I'll always have that over him.
Not to be really morbid, I just saw on Twitter, did he try to kill himself when
he did try to kill himself? Yeah, when he was 18, he was starting to become, you know, number one prospect. He was getting all that hype, and he tried to overdose on pills. Yeah.
Is that known?
I don't think it's that well known. There was a guy that had like a huge story on it, and he like shot it down. He might have paid him off or something.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Hey, did Kenny Griffey Jr. try to kill himself? Anyways, enjoy your holiday.
A lot of people's favorite player tried to end his life. So be thankful this Thanksgiving for the people you have around you.
Not and just remember that even the happiest, most successful people still want to kill themselves. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
The outro. We didn't
do the fucking ad read.
Wait, that's Junior, one of like the most successful players of all time, wanted to kill himself? That sounds confusing. I can't even do that transition. That's confusing. That's almost as much as a confusing process as trying to buy tickets online to a game or a concert. But we don't have to worry about that because we have the SeatGeek app on our phones and just use it the other day to get tickets to Friday's Celtics game against the Magic because the Celtics can't lose, motherfucker. Everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work and you save time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value, bitch. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Best of all, our listeners get an instant $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. One more time, our listeners get an instant $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app and click add a promo code. Enter promo code section 10, that's section 10. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app. Enter promo code section 10 today. Big coupon, bitch.
Follow us on Twitter at Section 10 Pod, Instagram at Section 10 Podcast. Subscribe on iTunes and rate the show. We're not going to do a review of the week this week because we're saving it for next week when we have the drunk reviews. Like, that's the big one.
Motivation. Get those damn reviews in.
Yeah, get that shit in. What's the number again, Steven?
781-366-0950. No excuses. If you don't call in and leave a drunk voicemail review of the show, we're going to be very upset at you and call you out by name.
Yeah, all of you. So do it. Thanks. Appreciate that. And just one more time, really quick. Even the happiest, most successful people still want to end their lives. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. And we will see you next week. And also, Evan,
if you need help, get help.
Be sure to drink responsibly on Wednesday because... Tell them why, Steven.
If you don't drink responsibly, the cops might show up.
And what happens when the cops show up?
Wouldn't want to cuff you! Wouldn't want to cuff you!
I'm just so confused.
He's like, I'm not.
It sounds like Trenny. I don't know what's
going on. Nope, it's a Garen Austin.
Mad ethnic right now. I get it how I live it. Wait a minute. I live it how I get it. Come to motherfucking digits. I pull it with a lemon. Wait a minute. Not cause she ain't living. It's just your eyes get acidic. And this ain't a scrimmage. Wait a minute. Motherfucker, we ain't finished. What? I told you we won't stop. A nigga by the business. Wait a minute. Like yours, but you're renting. Wave hello to the top. Nigga, the bay wrong glide. Tell the paparazzi get the lens right. Got the window down top blown live. Got the hazard on only doing fire. You could catch me, Ree, in the new LaFerrari. And the truck behind me got on. Do you have any good night before Thanksgiving stories, John?
No.
Really?
I don't really get too into that. Because I went to boarding school, so like I don't have like a ton of friends in my hometown.
I didn't know that you went to boarding school.
Yeah, so people are all over the place. It's not like I go home and it's like, oh, my high school buddies. Like, all my high school buddies are from everywhere.
We need someone to do a Feidelberg book. There's stories that, like, how is KFC still hearing new stories? How has he not heard all the stories by now? That's ridiculous.
Are you well-received in your hometown?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I have, like, childhood friends that I talk to very rarely, but
people don't like Jared.
I don't know that they don't like me. They don't really even know me.
I thought you said that there were a bunch of people in your hometown. They're like, oh, you're too big time now or something like that.
Yeah, like someone tried to fight me last year the night before Thanksgiving because I work for Barstool. That's the only reason. And like I used to be friends with them like growing up. Like we used to fucking have like a trampoline wrestling organization and he was in it. And I haven't talked to him since then, which was like sixth grade. And then he tried to fight me last year. I don't wanna hurt you.
And chips on both of my shoulders. Reputation precedes me, and rumors I'm knee deep. The truth is, it's easier to ignore it. Believe me, even when we'd argue, we'd not do it for long. And you understand the good and bad end up in the song. For all your beautiful traits and the way you do it with these. For all my flaws, paranoia, and insecurities. I've made mistakes and made some choices that's hard to deny. After the storm, something was born on the 4th of July. I passed days of the fun. This end game is the one with four. On the tip of my tongue, I'll never say. I don't wanna touch you. I don't wanna be just another ex-love. You